Welcome to this episode of Outcast and Outclassed.
Happy New Year! Pin.
Beautiful.
Wow, Maria. Them pipes. Pen.
Pin.
Gorgeous.
The poor podcast listeners are like, pen?
Pin.
Which one?
You gotta come watch us out sometime and you'll want to know.
Probably regret it, but you know, one way to find out.
The only thing you missed was blue peens.
No, why?
And there goes that one podcast listener. They're gone.
Yeah, that, now we just more question marks are.
And I have to bleep it on YouTube.
call in, Sarah will explain it.
No, I won't.
Yeah.
All right, first, some very brief announcements. Let's get this show on the road. So, a little birdie told us that the Streamer Award nominations are live, y'all, until I believe the 19th. That means if you like what we do, you can help get us nominated. Categories, there's a bunch of categories. You can go to thestreamerawards.com/nominations. There's so many categories, so you can absolutely nominate, you know, all your favorite streamers on Twitch. I don't know if it's limited to Twitch, but streamers, I think, from all sorts of categories. But I think some of the ones that are appropriate to the things that we do here, there is categories like Hidden Gem, Best Roleplay Streamer, Stream Game of the Year, Best Streamed Series, Outcast and Outclass, pretty cool, and Streamer of the Year. So anything else you see fit. So if you like what we do, go check it out, thestreamerawards.com/nominations, and we'd appreciate that support.
I will say it's up until the 19th, which happens to be my birthday. As a birthday present, please go nominate us.
Yes. Now you have to.
You got it.
You got it. All right. That is all the announcements I have today. So let's go quickly into those announcements and get, or into the announcements, good golly, the sponsors, and we'll get the show on the road. Maria.
It's 2024 and it might be a new year, but we've got the same dedicated sponsors as we did last year, starting with The Crafty Gamer. The Crafty Gamer is a company that sells delicious smelling and allegedly potentially tasting. Do not taste these candles.
Nope.
We do not endorse you eating candles. However, they smell good enough to eat. Do not eat these candles. Don't do it. Don't do it. But do buy them, light them, and smell the delicious scents of a beautiful forest or straight up dirt. There's one that smells like dirt, which is great. But when you're wanting to add, don't eat dirt.
Just eat.
Don't eat candles.
I think we got the message across.
CraftyGamer.com, thecraftygamer.com. Check out their Kickstarter that is coming soon, The Aromas of Adventure, which is going to be candles with metal dice inside of them, as well as a bunch of other things that they've got in their store. And go visit their store if you're in the general Florida area. They're pretty great. TheCraftyGamer.com. Use code WafflesMaple while you're there to save a bit of cash and let them know that we sent you.
Speaking which of is being great. Sent,
were you
guess
sent?
What? Really fast. I'm what? Actually going to be there on this coming Sunday.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Oh. Well, if you're in the area, you can go say hi to an Outcast and Outclass member. One Hideaki Duval King Jacobs.
Amazing.
Second sponsor of this stream, everyone. You may have heard of them if you've seen the show at all. Eldritch Osiris Games, a fantastic group of individuals, friends of this channel, and also the first TTRPG co-op in ever. They work with a bunch of other creators and are an inclusive group that tries to catapult everyone into the stars together, because as we go together, we all succeed, and it's great and it's wonderful. They primarily
also
focus
don't
on
eat them.
Also, don't eat them.
It's important.
Unless they
but
ask
do
for
check
it,
out and keep an eyes open for their successful Kickstarter that has a lot to do with mechs and magic. And I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but I do
Mech Finder,
thank you. I do know. You know why Syrup knows that? Because Syrup and Waffles are going to be writing some stuff for it, which is also really rad and cool. But do go check out EldritchOsirisGames.com and check out their wide selection of fantastic and wonderful things made by fantastic and wonderful people. Support others so that we can all grow together.
Beautiful.
That's it.
I just feel and see the sparkles in the air.
Just thank don't you. Eat them.
Just
don't eat the sparkles.
Don't eat them.
Don't eat,
just
the,
don't
sparkles.
Eat the sparkles.
I think don't that's the theme. Change the name
just
of the episode.
Just don't eat them. Yeah, just don't eat them.
Enjoy the sparkles without your mouth.
Instructions unclear. Your tongue on handle.
Don't eat them.
And with that, I suppose we'll see you in class.
If we have to.
We got it.
Butts.
Welcome. So. I got totally distracted. Yeah, hey, so what's up?
So, last
we left off our wonderful group of outcasts, as they have now named themselves. Well, we started off in a haunted house, so to speak, but some conversations and diplomacy led to an interesting development, a poltergeist that was willing to hear them out. Being able to discover that what was the reason that this poltergeist was still here and bothering this poor new homeowner, I believe named Toku, was due to a missing statue. With some threads to go on and a name to pursue, you went off into the city to learn more. You found this person, but time for this poltergeist may have been a little skewed, as you soon found out that their murderer was not a young man as was remembered, but rather, at this point in time, an old grandpa of a sorts. Not just old, but clearly deep in regret and wallowing in far less fortunes than perhaps he once was. You learned a little bit more about some of the underground, underworld, thank you, of the underworld that may or may not still be going on. But I think you all had your suspicions answered. And with a little bit of, you know, business acumen on the side happening with a little business card action, you left this individual's manor and headed back. But back to where is what I ask you as we pick back up.
Back.
To the future.
Back to black.
We're going.
Oh, if your name was still the future, that would have been really good.
Back to the
future.
Yeah.
A
damn,
second
missed opportunity.
Again.
So as we're walking away, I think considering the where we left it, I think Kadiak is probably the last one in, like, behind everyone, I think. And I think he, as they sort of leave, the grin on his face. So I assume we head back to the Sprout House, maybe regroup for whatever we decide to do next, and call it an afternoon / evening.
Do we want to go tell Garrus what we found so that he's calm?
Well, we sent the men to talk to him, maybe.
Suppose it depends on if we trust that to be good to leave it there.
I don't think we should waste our time with it.
I agree.
All right. Look at us agreeing. Excellent.
Idiaki's all happy. The rest of us are on edge.
Yep. This is great.
So y'all are heading back to the Sprout House. Let's tell me what, you know, a little bit about what your characters are thinking about the situation right now. What let's kind of summarize. I like a little investigative recap of a kind, and let's pretend, if you will, that as we go back to the Sprout House, you're putting all your clues on the table and making your nice little detective board with the red string and everything. Where are we at? What is everybody's thoughts on what is going on right now, and what leads do you all have?
Well, we have the lead of the underworld dude that we assume is dead.
Abu. The cudgel.
Right. Indeed.
Abu the cudgel.
Abu with a huh. Habu.
Yes,
Habu. Oh, Habu.
Habu.
Look, it's a very different...
Oh, I thought you were genuinely kidding there. That's really funny.
It's got an H.
Yeah.
All right, so we have a name of a crime lord.
The last
that
person who
we
has
have
thing.
An assassin.
So there
There's
were
an assassin that we don't know the name of.
Well, we have burglars, at least.
Are you referring to the same?
I think so.
Here?
The individual that helped.
The Gripply.
Yeah. I don't know if they were an assassin.
Sorry,
I think
burglar.
They were just
I don't know. Maybe I just thought assassin since they said they would kill them.
Yeah. I think that's a fair assumption, to be fair.
But there was a strong correlation between the visions that most of us saw of this Gripply and the lockpicking and the lockpicks that we found at the...
Oh,
menagerie.
Manu.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Leading... me to believe that this criminal underground is definitely still out and about and booping and duping.
Well, when we were there, she did say that she was in trouble but couldn't tell us about it, so...
Yeah.
Very, very likely at this point.
Yep. And Hideaki is hoping, of leads, is hoping to find his new gambling friend that he helped out of debt.
That you paid a lot of money to.
So you have that individual that you don't exactly know where, that you know that they're somewhere to the north, I believe. Jaya was their name. Mm-hmm. So that's somebody that you don't have tabs on, but may or may not be related. That's more a hypothesis that you're currently holding.
Yep.
You have a hypothesis as well of connecting this Gripply that you had this vision of with the Oba's Wondrous creatures, potentially kind of bringing it to the from the past to the now. Anything else?
Here are my notes real quick.
You mentioned sort of the, not just the leads, but like, how's everybody feeling? We kind of alluded to it, but Hideaki is fucking beaming right now. He is so excited because he feels like his assumptions are being validated. And he has been searching for like something to hold on to short term with all of his long term things that he wants to do. And like, finally, there's some fucking momentum.
Yeah, something he can latch his teeth into. Or say, well, I mix metaphors, but you get, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Nom nom, baby. Nom nom.
So, yes.
Arc, as far as, quote, feeling, is a little, at this point, I don't know if it's showing or not, but inside at least, is a little annoyed at the, again, run back and forth and get nowhere. For him, we were promised more and better things as not graduates, conversants. Yeah.
Conversants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's like, he's got that underlying thing in the back of his head of he's above this.
Hmm. Interesting.
Hmm. Tal's upsetty spaghetti.
Oh, what about?
I think there was a lot of comparing this sad old guilt-ridden man with Tal's grandmother, Grandma Olu, and how she's kind of become an old, sad, guilt-ridden cat folk, and how there's like how much of what Kalembi did you can feel guilty as much as you want. You still did something terrible. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of bleeding a little bit. And now she's starting to think back into, I mean, isn't that kind of what my grandmother did too? But not, it wasn't quite the same. And now they're kind of like murmuring a little bit in their brain about yeah. all of that. Again, not as bad as what if, before, but just.
Yeah, like it's a little uncomfortable.
And yeah.
What is Tal's like opinion on the sort of, we'll call it the investigation in the current moment? Are they
yeah.
curious to find out more information, or are they kind of like, doesn't really matter?
The investigation overall, Tal is exceptionally curious as to how far this could go, how big this actually is, because seemingly innocuous things are popping up to be potentially more related than they anticipated. And so it's definitely a curiosity to them to see what else is happening. And also, they would prefer people don't get murdered. That would be nice.
Yeah. And what about Airfay?
Airfay has a lot of emotions right now she doesn't understand. Something about what he did bothers her on a personal level, that she just, more than you betrayed your friend. And she doesn't quite know what that is. But on top of it, and this is not something she has shared and she understands there's a difference, but she just watched Tal scold someone for not sacrificing themselves for someone else. Whoa. When not so long ago, Tal also scolded Airfay for being willing to sacrifice herself for someone. And damn. She sees that there is a difference.
Fucking
like these are different situations, but...
Oh, but that's churning.
She's a little bit frustrated by the fact that in her mind right now, Tal will switch their moral compass based on how they are feeling. And that's maybe not the truth of it, but that is how Airfay is kind of...
I love it so much!
Lead me for filth, why don't you? God.
Busted.
Jeez.
So I'm envisioning right now, like, y'all are sitting in the Sprout House, kind of like all around, in the common area.
We have snacks. Don't worry about it. Airfay's
playing with her snakes yeah. and fucking paper cranes.
Yes. And, like, just... This is kind of happening, and I like to imagine that there's almost dual conversations happening both inside your heads and out loud, where all of you are working together to kind of consolidate all the different facts and information that you all have, while each of you internally is thinking something so completely different. And as this happens, you hear a small voice go, excuse me?
Or bangs,
Hal.
I imagine Tal's like laying on like one of the many pillows that there's now in the main area and will flop over. What is it, Benji?
I have a delivery for you. It's a letter.
Oh. And Tal will just kind of like reach a hand up for it.
It is a little letter that's just addressed to Taliatia at the Magambia. Care of like Zokon, which doesn't normally happen. It's like this was sent to Zokon like to get to you, and so this is from somebody that clearly knows the school or Zokon. And as you open it up, you see some neat handwriting that says, "I'm very excited to say that your commission is complete, and it's ready for you to pick up whenever you would like." I think you're gonna like it. I'm pretty proud of this one. Signed, Niana.
I think that Tal was exceptionally like wary a little bit and concerned that this would be bad. And then as they are reading it, I think they're still reading it, just kind of like laying down. And then their ears will like perk up and their eyes will get wider and a little bit brighter. What time of day is it? Is it feasible to go there now?
It's like, it's probably at evening. It's probably evening. It would make more sense to go tomorrow.
Okay.
You guys were out of the school for a while, so it's possible that like it was waiting for you.
Oh, that, you know what? That makes sense. I think Tao will like kind of not fully fold it, but like pull it down and look at the rest of the group. I have something to pick up in the city tomorrow morning if anybody wants to go with me to check on anything, I guess, or
poke around,
get anything.
Yeah, I was thinking about going into the city myself, so happy to join you.
Might as well, we can poke around a little bit, see if we can figure out anything for this.
That's true, we could just look to see, I don't know, see it through different, the city through different eyes or something.
Different frame of reference?
Yeah.
Do you think it will be relevant to what we're doing?
Me going to the city?
Oh, well, all of us.
Oh.
Since it seems like everyone is going.
There's always a chance it could be. Yeah.
It's
it sounds like y'all are going to investigate, right? Like you guys are going to look for
tangentially, yeah.
Okay. You have something to do and we have things to figure out. We might as well make a day of it.
Do we have school tomorrow?
Not if we don't want to.
Not if you don't want to.
We can catch up.
I've skipped class before.
Dude, we're skipping a lot. We went from zero to two now. Oh, interesting.
I am curious how deep you're sinking your teeth into this and whether or not you are trying to say, okay, yeah, I'm gonna do this while keep continuing with schools and studies, or if you're like, we can skip a couple days, let's keep going with this, and I see what you've chosen and I'm fine with it.
I suppose we do have to go to class at some point.
That was literally the reason for Art's question of like, is this gonna be useful to what we're doing, because if it's not, then he's gonna go to school.
Totally.
All right, so with that, if unless somebody has something in particular, we'll go ahead and skip to the next day.
I was going to say, one thing that I might go along with is Hideaki and I got our butts kicked by a ghost.
A little bit.
Yeah, well, technically by like a book and like a nice rock.
Yeah, it's a separation,
a
you know?
A big rock.
It was a big rock. So Arafe...
No! Stop it!
Yay! Yay! 2024 starts with puns.
Right, leaving. Goodbye. My last episode now.
So Arafe is actually going to kind of notice that Hideaki's injured from this book, and she has not healed him yet. So she is gonna go ahead and kind of pull him aside to do that.
I mean, I don't know.
It's like dried on its own because you really didn't do much to it. Exactly. And so it's kind of crusted with blood and you're like, that's not pretty.
Yeah.
Should wash that off.
You know, it's kind of funny. Growing up, one of my favorite heroes in my books was his nickname was JS, and he had this like really cool like slashing scar above his eye, and I always thought that I would love to have one, but then I remembered I have fur and you wouldn't be able to see it.
I mean, depending on how big the scar is, you would, but I also don't know if you want to aim for that, especially around the eye area. Yeah.
And also saying, it's not really a great story to say, like, yeah, a ghost threw a book at me. End of cool story. Not like I got it from, like, a cool, like, you know, one-on-one duel to the death.
You almost got killed by a book by a ghost.
Yep. Well, I mean, not almost killed, just tragically injured.
Tragically injured.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, you gotta add a little flair to stories, you know?
Sometimes, but not always.
Sure. When you say pull aside, where have you taken him?
I guess she's just healing a little bit. So I guess we're just kind of off the side, not really.
Okay.
I think Ark will kind of mosey over, probably from the middle of the room, and sit down across from both of you, not to get in the way. Probably lets the he's probably sat there through the last part of that conversation, lets it go, and when there's a pause, they go, "Were you not ready for things to be thrown around the room?"
Not so aggressively. I assumed there would be anger, and I assumed there would be, honestly, I thought there would be more hollow threats. But it was a little more aggressive than I was prepared for, thus the rock to the face that you didn't see.
We were warned, yes?
Yes.
Sure, but I also think we, based off of the intelligence that Nim gave us, I think we were hoping for there to be a bit of a, not quite the aggression that we experienced right away.
I guess I was expecting warning shots rather than immediate, how do they
shots
say?
Shots to the head?
Fuck you.
And those types of expectations will usually lead to, and he kind of looks at Budzio, more serious injuries.
Thank you for the unsolicited advice, Sark 2.
You're welcome.
It is still a good point. Still a fault of mine of expecting better things than may necessarily be to come.
That makes sense. Ark is going to stand up, and as he's turning, he kind of says out loud, "I'm going to go study since I don't need to heal anything."
Great idea.
Sounds good, Ark.
Hideaki looks at you, Erfe, and just rolls his eyes.
He's capable.
Define capable, because I mean, like, if you look it up in a dictionary, like, yeah, certainly.
Why are you frustrated with Ark?
How long do you have?
All night.
I just don't know what I want to do. Rivals, not rivals. Friends, not friends. So I'm just trying to take them at face value, and it's not so easy for me.
Hideaki.
Hmm.
Why is it so important to you that Ark is your rival?
It's not. Not anymore.
Insight check.
Yes.
Excellent.
What is that in this game again?
Sense motive. Lion.
It's perception.
Perception.
Dice tell a motherfucking story. Natural 20 for a 29.
Yes. Now, you, Duval, can give insight here and make it clear if it's something that Hideaki himself has not realized for himself, you know? Or not. I don't actually know what the answer is, so, you know, do you?
I do, though. There is a classic, you know, Hideaki flippantness in his delivery. But he is telling the 100% truth. And there is like an edge and seriousness to it.
That he does not really want Ark to be his rival.
It's
that he doesn't care, if I'm getting it correctly.
It's you could probably call it water under the bridge. Like, it seems like he's moved on to something else.
What are you hoping to do?
With R2 or with just in general?
In general.
Well, and he'll manifest over Noza. Well, still got this guy stuck in the Astral Sea. Mm-hmm. You know, part of me is like, doesn't feel like I'm anywhere closer. But part of the reason why we came here to begin with is to get stronger. And it's just, you know, a longer road than I'd hope. I hoped it would be. But then, you know, all of this stuff has happened. And then, yeesh, the speeches, which were really fun. It kind of gave me a bit of time to really focus on, actually, honestly, the answer to your question. Because I honestly didn't know. Because all the things that I was doing, you know, trying to get Overnoza out, you know, back here, trying to resolve whatever conflict is between my dad and Overnoza. Nothing was really, like, for me. Yeah, sure, I want to be a hero and all that stuff, but, like, that doesn't really all that matter. Then, like, I started to, you know, meet people that I cared about, and I met this little kid in the city back when we were delivering letters that I really, really liked. And actually the same kid, and remember when I like swam across the thing that I went to go meet and showed him some things? And I realized, just based off of like how that kid perceived me, I want to become what he thinks I am.
Interesting. I was wondering about that.
You're catching me after a lot of time and thought, which kind of sort of came out in that speech. Yours is really good, by the way.
Yeah.
Actually, my favorite, if I'm being honest.
I had something different. But it felt better that way.
What'd you throw away?
The usual of, I'm going to use my power to heal people, to go home and take care of my village. And I realized that's not what I'm going to do. Ever.
Well, that begs a really interesting question. Given that, this sort of newfound edge, maybe independence, perhaps? Do you think you'll go back after all this is over? Lore Speaker Arafay.
If I am being completely honest, no. There's a lot of questions that I need answered, and I don't think I'm going to like the end of the road.
Well,
I don't know what that is, but I don't think it's going to be good.
Well, for probably a completely different reason, you're not alone. I don't think I'm going back either.
Really?
I think even over Noza goes, no?
I don't think so. I reserve the right, obviously, to change my mind at any moment's notice. But right now, you know, I spent all this time. I sent my father this letter about how we could maybe bring Inculta Trees into the fold, tie it to the Magambia, tie it to Nantambu, and figure all this shit out. All while my people's concerns is the Watcher, kind of pointing at Overnoza, still watching? Is he still protecting the city, protecting our town? All while these same people, you know, are the reason why he's stuck there in the Astral Sea in the first place. To a certain extent.
You sort of kind of glance down at Rin for just a second before going back to you.
The thing is, I think I'm trying to pull together too many different things. And though, and he kind of points to his robes, which are the cutlass, you would know are the colors of, mm-hmm. of the cult of Charisse. Although it means a lot to me, I think I want to be here instead.
You know, if we would have had this conversation 2 weeks ago, I would have had very different things to say to you right now.
What is up with this, like, 2 weeks thing, right? No, I only thought about this, like, a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. I am so proud of you.
What?
Good night, Hideaki. And she's gonna go to bed.
Oh my gosh.
I have a page of... Faye walks away. I have a page of things that she was gonna say. And you just threw it out the window and it's glorious.
Yay! Do it again, do it again.
Improv.
The door closes. I still have another question for her, though.
I mean, you can always go and knock on her door if you want.
Nah. It would just blow this up. So I'm gonna live on this one. Yep, yep. He just like says that to Overnose and just lays down.
And as you walk kind of back to your room, Overnose is just like, what was the question?
Kind of smiles at Overnose. You know, I've grown to realize I'm a pretty good liar. But Arafe does something that I don't think I can do. Something that is... She's actually grown to be a little talented at, I think. And he just points to his face. What she says with her eyes and what she says with her smile are two different things.
Kind of like looks at you for a second and nods. You noticed it too.
I've been sitting on it for a little while. But here's the deeper question. It'll come up when it's time. Is that a product of the Arafe now, or a resurfacing of the Arafe from before? It's so exciting!
I think with that, like, the camera kind of pales out of that room through the closed door. As Ark is sitting in his room, and we don't have to, is there anything that Tal's been doing in this time?
Tal's been trying to figure out why my internet browser is moving so slowly.
Tal's like, internet?
Internet? I don't... I don't think so. I think that there is... Totally. I think that what they are doing... they're probably just still in the main area, like they, while all of the going back and forth and conversations, yeah. And then watches Arafe walk past. Like little
hammocks from
and,
the top.
yeah, kind of hanging up there, but watching like, Ark kind of join the conversation, and watching them walk away, and then watching Arafe walk away, and watching Hideaki just be like, "What?" But not quite. Okay, I can't lie. I'm a cat. I could probably hear 90% of the conversation that was happening.
Absolutely, probably.
Yes, I was gonna say yes. And I want to, you know, I want to do something for you if you don't mind.
Oh, 100. I never mind.
A perception check. Because I wanna bring you into the fold on this. I think it's time.
Oh, yikes! 18.
Okay. Rewinding in time just a little bit, you, especially because as Ark stood up, as he left that conversation, their tone carried a little bit louder there. I'm going to go study since I don't have to be healed, or I forget exactly what you said.
Since there's no healing that needs, is
yeah,
needed or
since I don't
like
need
that,
healing.
Yeah. I don't need healing.
I don't need to heal anything.
Yeah, that's what it is.
The reason, like, your ear perks up is because you... Art does not have a lot of intonation often in their words.
Mm-hmm.
But you pick up a thread, if you will, of something in that tone. Sorry, I just had to. It was great. It was a great word choice.
God damn it.
It's so good every time.
And it's like a sassiness of a kind or something. You don't know. That was pointed.
Yeah.
And more so, what I want to bring for you, and you do not have to do anything with this, is Tal notices this. Because up until now, I feel like Arafe has seen a few things throughout your conversations, but I don't know if Tal has really picked up on it, and it was just a little odd.
Mm-hmm.
You have watched and interacted with Ark many a time, and like, it's not just this time, but it just feels a little bit like they've been a little bit more on edge lately.
Yeah, after Arafe goes into her room and I see Hideaki close the door, or the door is closed, however it happens. Tal will swing their way down from the top of the Sprout House ceiling area. And will nervously approach Ark's door, because they're not quite sure. They're not quite sure how Ark is going to respond to talking. But they go up to the door and they knock a little softly.
Yes.
It's Tal. I know you said you were going to do work, but is it okay if I talk to you a little bit? I wanted to ask you some questions.
Sure, I'm just rereading things I already know.
Can I come in?
Yes.
Tal will let out a silent breath that they had been holding.
Okay.
And we'll open the door. Has anything changed since Tal's been in here last? Which I think was the first time that they showed you the broom, I think.
Make a perception check.
Be
How many
kind
hair points do you have?
To me. I have two.
Everyone
according
has two except
to
for Arafe.
The thing.
Okay. Arafe's got one.
Okay. 22.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay. I would say, like, it's only because you came in here looking for something to change. There is, like, an extra book on his desk, and it's, like, a very small notebook, probably, like, I'm trying to think, 6 by 4 inches.
Okay.
And then he has a study book on his bed, but like, you assume that would go back in his place when he's done.
Yeah. Come in and, is Ark on the bed or the desk or Ark. Not on the desk, but.
Ark's standing on the desk. He takes the study book to the ceiling, and he is just staring.
Nice.
He's sitting on the floor with his back to the bed, cross-legged.
Okay. Tal, I think, would sit on the floor as well. Not next to you, but also not like directly across from you, just kind of at like an angle, so you don't have to turn very far to see them, but they're not directly in front of you. And we'll sit there in silence for a little while.
I think if the silence lasts longer than like 10 seconds, Ark will mm-hmm. pipe up and say, "You had questions."
Yes, I'm just trying to. I'm trying to figure out how to phrase them. Have you noticed anything different about yourself lately? In the past, I don't know, month or so?
You see him, like, eyes go up. He's, like, legit thinking. Only the expected difference of becoming better at everything I'm doing. Otherwise, no. Time and practice yield results, yes?
Sure. But I've been noticing, and there's been a couple of times where you've responded in very different ways, different than you had before. Earlier, when you left Erefe and Hideaki, I was up in the rafters and heard. I don't know how to describe it, but you said the same words that you would always say, but you said it differently than you usually would. Which struck me as interesting. And there was a couple of other times, now that I think about it, that maybe you said the things that you usually would, but you said them differently than you usually would.
He looks legitimately confused and says, "Could you explain it better?"
I will try. When you said just now, if you can recall, you said to Erefe and to Hideaki that you were going to come back and study because there was no need to heal anyone anymore?
Myself, yes. There was no need to heal myself.
Did you have a...
It's like staring at you intently.
I think it's making it harder for Tal to come up with the right questions to ask. It sounded like sarcasm, which I don't know how to describe, or frustration, or these words that mean emotive things that are very hard for me to describe, and I'm trying to figure out ways to describe them. And the only reason that I bring this up is because it has happened similarly before in the market when we had a very large disagreement and an argument, and you hurt Erefe because of it.
I don't think I would hurt Erefe.
Whether you think so or not, you did. And
like thinking about it a little, you can keep talking.
Why I bring this up is back at our first
graduation ceremony, I was asked to help you learn emotions, to figure them out, to unlock whatever this was.
By a teacher.
By... No. Well, I guess by your original teacher.
Iska spoke to you.
Mm-hmm. You were there for most of it. But...
They were sent away...
Tal chose their chose their phrasing. They were there for most of it.
Yeah.
Iska thought that it was something that you needed to learn, I guess. And I didn't like the way that she was talking about you, so I said that I would help.
Well, Iska usually knows best. And if you say I am providing emotive conversation, then am I not learning?
No. Because while you might be doing it, you have no idea what you're doing or what it means or anything like that. I don't know if that's learning. You don't know when you're doing anything that invokes emotion or emotive response. Also, you don't know when you're not doing it. I was there when you did your dancing. You physically danced, but there was no emotion in it. There was no art to it. And while you may have done it perfectly, there's a reason that you got the score that you did. And it's just because you don't understand. You can learn, but understanding it is something completely different. And it's hard for me to find ways to get to a point where I can describe it in a way that you might understand, which is why I'm kind of bringing it up now, because I don't want you to not know what you're doing and it hurts you or someone else again.
Do you think I'm smart?
I think you're very intelligent.
If it is hard for you to describe something for me to understand in words, then is it not a hard concept to describe, period?
Mm-hmm. It's... The reason it is hard to describe in words is, I think, because a lot of people don't need them to be described in words. Because it is a default for them. And so you can describe it by how you literally feel. And most people will say, oh, that's something I can relate to. But that's not... You've proven that that's not the case with everyone. And that's something that... I need to remember.
The... First time you ever did magic, did it come natural? Did someone need to explain it to you? Did you have to practice? Were you the best? What about walking? Crawling?
What a question about the magic to specifically ask Tal.
Yeah. My magic was something that came to me, and I did not ask for it, or I do not remember asking for it, and so I've always been able to use it.
Since a baby?
No, since I got it, which was, frankly, not that long ago, now that I think about it.
Sure, so the first time you used it, you were the best at it. No need for training.
Technically.
Is that why you were hurt after you cast a spell on Hadrum? Hadrum? That seemed like an accident. If we went back to that exact moment now, Would you do better?
I think so. I'd like to think so. But I'm also different than now than I was then, so.
Exactly. Well, judging by the words you just told me, this is the first time I am experiencing this ever. Now, let's take a small step back, and the first time you ever cast magic, if someone came in and attempted to control how you did it, would that be good?
No.
I think I am fine on my own.
Can I ask one more thing?
Sure.
I don't think that you need help learning about emotions or whatever it is that Iskad really wants you to learn. You're very capable at learning things at your own pace, however quickly you want to learn them. But if you don't understand what you're learning, could you ask me? And I can try to help.
If I feel it's necessary to ask you, I will.
Okay. Is it helpful if I let you know from an outside perspective if what you're...
If what I am doing is wrong.
No. What? No. No, not wrong.
Incorrect?
No. If you do something and it's different than usual, like tonight, or like the encounter in the market, or anything like that. Observations, not critiques on your morality or anything like that, unless it's not critiques on you, just observations.
Will you be doing the same for RFA and Hideaki every time they stray from their norm?
I would like to.
Okay, then sure, you can do it for me, and I will join you and do it for them.
Okay. I think Tao will start to stand up and, like, stay crouched a little bit, like, halfway up. You know, that's a bit what friends do. Well, maybe you don't. Let me rephrase that. That is a little bit what friendship is. Is people that you care about in whatever capacity, you're willing to let them know if they are acting differently. Doesn't have to be bad. No. No. But
why would you
sometimes
people
want, because sometimes people don't know that what they're doing. Ah, I think Tal sits back down. I think it is important for me to speak about myself. In this, I can't tell you how Arafe will wants to be talked to. I can't tell you how Diaki wants to be talked to. I would hope that there is some kind of norm that has been set about how I act and how I might respond to things. And if something doesn't fit to that norm, that is a little strange. I don't think it's up to us. If I saw something that Erefe was doing that I thought was strange, to say what you're doing is strange. I could ask, why are you doing something different? Why are you doing this? What is your reasoning? And then hear them out, and I don't know. It's a lot more complicated than I... Now, if I think about it more, it just gets more complicated. I understand now, in a way.
If I continuously did different things, would that not just become a part of me? So do you want to change who I am?
No. No, I don't.
Okay.
I think you're fine the way that you are.
You were acting strange when you first came in the room, but I didn't say anything.
Well, I'm glad that you noticed. And I was, because I was nervous.
Sure.
And Tal just kind of stops and looks and waits and gets a sure as an answer.
Nervous is normal for you.
Nervous is normal for me. You're right.
Okay. Should I go back to studying? Mm-hmm.
I will leave and let you go back to whatever it is you want to do. Thank you for listening and answering. Sure. And I will get up and we'll walk back to their room, very confused about the prospects of friendship and emotions.
Validly so, but nonetheless, I think if perhaps not immediate developments, a lot of groundwork was set in that wonderful conversation. Good job, yeah. So, with this, we will do a smash cut to morning.
It's a smash cut.
That's what sunrise sounds like. Explosions.
In the Magambia.
Yeah.
Sunrise is smash cut. You hear peanut butter. No.
The sun comes up.
Nice.
So morning comes, breakfast is had, and we will bring you all forward to probably cutting some classes or other, but heading morning-ish, early day. Out to the city?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe after like the first class of the day.
Yeah.
Optics, you know, optics.
Sure. Tal does want to learn. Tal has a laundry list of things that they need to learn.
Look, part of my grade is dependent on attendance.
Art turned in all his papers for the rest of the week.
That's
insane,
right?
Damn.
Jeez.
Even the assignments that they hadn't gotten yet.
Yep. They stole it.
So we head into the city. Are all of you together heading to Niana's first?
Sure.
Ark will head with them, but he's not going to go in. He's probably going to stay outside and just like try to, as best as they can, like further the kiss. Like even if that's just looking around the city for shady things.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. God. Yeah, you go.
No, one thing that I think, and I'll do it the next day because Tao may have remembered as we're walking. Tao would like, I think, is used to kind of leading the way into the city because they're kind of comfortable with it, but would step back to Ark and ask, I noticed you had something different in your room yesterday. That you had the new book. And trying to say it like not loudly, in case it's like a private thing for some reason.
Which book? And like the way he asked it is like, it's not important enough for him to know what the new book is.
Tao would describe where it was on the desk and like roughly the color of whatever the very small notebook looking book was.
Oh, yes. That is a recent track of my achievements.
Oh. How many are in there?
Like 22, I believe. But they get pretty specific.
I think that's fair. What's your highest achievement so far then?
They're all the same.
Okay.
None is higher than the other. They're just an achievement. Just a step to the next.
Okay.
All right. So, who is going into the shop with Tao?
Me.
Of course. Okay.
Oh,
I love this woman. So.
Considering Ark's decision, it's too tantalizing. I have to. I'm gonna hang out with Ark too.
Oh yeah.
Switch the convos.
All right. So, with that, who wants to start? What side do we want to start in?
Inside the shop.
Inside the shop.
Split the party.
We're all gonna die.
So, inside the shop, the little chime rings as you open the door, and you're greeted shortly after by a familiar face. Oh, you're here. Wonderful.
Hello.
Come, let me show you. And she ushers you in, and like she kind of takes you to the back with like... you go past like the little counter and into like a little bit of a back area where you can see it's a little bit more of a workshop. And she goes and like walks you over to this little mid table that is cleared out a little bit. She like kind of quickly clears out a little bit and she places a thing down with a little kind of cloth covering over it. It's about yay high. Yeah, like that. Yeah. She
gestures. Erfe, you maybe seen Tao look this excited, like, maybe once before, and it was at the other market after they came back with all of their new trinkets from a child. They are exceptionally excited. I don't think Tao told anybody what they were commissioning or that they had brought something here to be worked on. So I think before taking off the like little handkerchief blanket situation, Tao would turn to Arafe and would say, do you remember that big piece of amber that we found under the library? That we didn't really... Yes. It just was in my bag, and I had honestly kind of forgot about it for a while. I brought it here, and then I look and, like, basically, like, ask for permission to take the thing off of it. And we'll unveil the beautiful thing. The beautiful piece of stuff.
Okay, so... There is below. I'm trying to get all my words here. Hold on.
What is this thing again?
It's lovely and what it's gorgeous and it's pretty.
Okay, so it is partially blown glass, partially lined with like outlined almost with this sort of like golden metal. You can assume it's like gold or something kind of coated. The thing itself is in the shape of a vardo, a sort of a covered wagon. It is, that's the cover, kind of arched at the back, is clearly a blown glass piece, I can say words, that has stripes of color through, also clear, sort of like ribboning over across the top. The little wagon wheels are daintily, like, the way she handled it, you can tell that it's sturdy, but they look so delicate. And little glass, almost like filling stained glass between the wagon wheel, like spokes, fill it in a colorful space. And it doesn't have any horse or anything attached, just kind of has a little front piece like that leans down. And through some of the, there's also a window on the side that is just clear glass. It's beautiful, colorful, ornate. And through the little glass window, you see this warm shine of an amber stone. And as you can start kind of leaning down to like see, peer through the window, she goes, I got a little help from a neighbor, a jeweler, for this contraption. And she reaches down and she opens it up. The top hinges open, and within is nested the beautiful amber piece that has been cut down and polished into like it just shines into like this warm interior. And so what I did earlier today, because I just went down a rabbit hole, is, so I don't have, these are all things I've taken from the internet, so it's not something I'm going to show live. It's just something that I'm going to use as references to the cast, so you can ooh and ah with me here. No. If I can copy paste. So the size of it is something like this in terms of how like the blown glass top is pulled out. It's around that size.
Ooh.
However, get ready for your first ooh. Ooh. The amber inside is polished and looks basically like that.
If you think if you've seen Lord of the Rings and you've seen Sauron's eye, imagine that without it being an eye.
Exactly. Yeah, so it
looks like it's on fire.
Stone. Yeah, it's like a smooth stone, yes, with like a crackly inside that makes it look like it's a flame.
Now imagine the ornateness of like the gold, the gilded like lines that this has. Obviously to size that, and it's colorful glass between. And then it hinges open to reveal the amber inside.
Y'all!
It is delicate. It is beautiful. It is a work of art that both on its own stands to her testament of like glass talent, as well as highlighting the beauty of the amber. Oh, and she kind of leaves it open. The amber was so beautiful, and I didn't want to waste any of it. So she kind of goes over to like a different counter and pulls out, and you can see like a chain of something that comes out. This is so you have something on you as well. And she hands it out to you. And it is a necklace that has just at the end a wagon wheel, just a wagon wheel. It is beautiful. As once more, there is little stained glass between the spokes of the wheel, and then nested in the center is another little small, like tiny chunk of amber with little dots surrounding it at each spoke, kind of utilizing extra little bits of amber into something that you can wear.
Wow. Thank you. And Tal is just like holding these two incredibly stunning things that are more incredible than they ever imagined, and is a little bit like stuck as they're just overwhelmed with how
the catfolk was too stunned to speak.
Correct.
Catch your tongue.
But like after a little bit,
they'll very gently put the wardrobe back down and put the necklace on immediately. And just look at it and like run their finger over the spokes of the wagon wheel and the gem in the center. And there's just a very small smile that I think Arafe can tell is just a very soft, genuine smile that is reflected in their eyes and not just on their face. And she looks up and she says, this is everything. Thank you so much.
I'm so happy to do it. Thank you. The stone was beautiful. I just made it shine.
Well, that takes skill within itself. These are gorgeous.
I'm glad. I was proud of it, I won't lie.
Is there a box or something I can carry this in? I don't want it to break on the way.
Of course. And she'll like go and
put us in a fight and we break this thing. I will be so mad.
I'm gonna cry, but it'll be so good.
And as she goes to kind of like shuffle, looking for some boxes and things like that, and she starts, it's kind of like a little thing where she goes and she's like, oh, I have this, like, it's like a little light, flimsy cardboard box. She's like, well, I want to, she like grabs something to like lay at the bottom and, you know, just kind of going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And as she's doing this, she's just sort of talking. It was such a, you know, and she just started talking about the process a little bit. She starts talking about like, oh, I really wanted it to shine, but I felt like if I covered it in the wagon, then it really wouldn't have, you know, that moment. And then I was like, what if it opens? And then I didn't really have the technique to do that, so I went over to a friend down the street just a little bit, and they have a wonderful jewelry shop, and they helped me kind of with the clasp and everything, and it's just, you know, it's kind of just talking and you're doing this. And she's like, although they did also mention Amechi, have you heard of anything going on recently? Again, as she's just doing other stuff, like, has the school heard word of the infrastructure, the river down in the west? It's such a shame, honestly. Just in one of the areas. A friend of ours, well, I suppose more a friend of the neighbor, but I know them, Amechi. They are a wonderful potter, and they have a beautiful workshop. And honestly, Amechi is such a kind heart. It's almost more of a community center. He opens his doors to anyone that wants to try their hand at pottery. It's lovely. It's, you know, it's therapeutical. And it's also just a fun hobby. So he operates out of basically a community center. And, well, I believe that his neighbors have seen some infrastructure failing. The river's flooding, which is not yet the season for it. And I know he's been trying to get some help for it, but hasn't managed. So I was just wondering if word had gotten over to the Magambia, because I know sometimes you all can help out with that.
Well, we haven't heard anything personally, but we can always ask around to see if someone knows about it and is working on it.
Well, if you, I can, if you wouldn't mind, he's maybe a sweet we can man.
Stop there on our way back, just to, so that when we tell them what's going on, we have a better idea of what to tell them.
Saying it to Arafe, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea. Where did you say it was at again?
And she will, give you directions.
Okay. Actually had a question for you also while we're here.
Yes.
Knowing of all things jeweled, have you ever seen like a rainbow leopard type statue?
I'm more glass.
Oh, I pull out the sketch that I made. Because I made it.
She looks at it for a second. It's beautiful. Not particularly. I'm more glass oriented and less jewelry oriented, but I can ask around. Are you looking to who made it, or
we're actually looking for it?
Mm-hmm. It's changed hands unwillingly, and we're trying to reunite it with its owner. Can I leave this with you, though, if that's okay?
Yes, perfect. I will get the word out. See if we can track it down for you, at least among the artisans.
Excellent.
It might be connected with some folks who are less excited about and like looks over to Arafe, not quite sure how to say. There might be
it might have been in the hands of the underworld at one point.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
be gentle about it then. Yes. Just in case, apparently it might have been taken by someone called Habu. What was it? Habu the
Cudgel.
The Cudgel. Have you heard of them before?
Nope.
She kind of gives this like, sounds like a fancy name for a sad man.
It's just one of those. We're looking for it, but because of the hands it's touched, just maybe be a little careful. I would be devastated if something happened.
Oh, sweetie. And she's just like, and she kind of like gives your cheek a pat. You are too sweet. But I can take care of myself. I appreciate it.
I don't doubt it.
And she kind of leans forward.
Actually, it's more odd, but you know. Two powerhouses together is an extra powerhouse. It's fine.
Well, I hope, and this kind of like finishes putting the thing in the box carefully and closes it up. This should be safe enough for travel. I hope it brings you warmth.
Thank you. And Tal will hold it so closely and gently.
All right, we're going to pause there and look outside of the shop, because what I would like to know between Ark and Hideaki, are y'all just sort of like standing guard outside of the shop, or are you kind of like going to meander a little bit while these two are in the shop?
Ark is willing to meander a little bit, but not very far. Unless Hideaki goes far, and then he'll follow Hideaki.
So Ark 2, here's what I'm thinking. I have a particular person in mind in which to search for, but I don't exactly have a great strategy in which to find them. Because last time that Tal and I found them, they sort of were headed off to wherever they live, I guess. So all we have is a name and a description. So,
you know their name.
Based off of our success. Yeah, what was the name again? You said it earlier, sir, but I forgot the name now.
Jaya.
Jaya, that's right. Jaya.
Do they like you?
I think they do.
What if you just yelled it really loud?
That did sort of work last time, but I think I want to be a bit more inconspicuous. I don't want to scare them or make them a target. After all, if we're after what I think I can at least fairly assume is some level of crime syndicate of some sorts, calling them out by their name really loudly can make them feel both uncomfortable and also may make them not want to talk to us.
Okay. You could protect them, right?
I could. I can.
Okay. What is your plan then?
So, my plan is to head to where I saw them last and do a bit of a look around. Because I believe one of two things. One, they're trying to keep a low profile, and maybe they're just hanging around some areas that they hang out at on a regular basis. Or, because I helped resolve a very large gambling debt that they had, and I recognize, though I hope it's not the case, that maybe they decided to give it another go And so maybe we could find out somewhere where there's gambling and see if they're around. Or if they're not around, which is great because we don't want anyone to go back into gambling debt, maybe they know where they are.
Sure. I have gambled before.
Have you really?
Yes. Iska taught me.
When? Really? Where? How?
With Iska.
Oh, did you win?
Sometimes. It is a lot of luck and a lot of cheating.
Sure. Who was doing the cheating, you or Iska?
Both.
Or both? I think I've gained a little bit more respect for you right now.
We gambled rocks.
I bet you did.
As you are having this conversation, I'm imagining that you are beginning to kind of head in the direction of retracing your steps, which funnily enough, if I recall, you actually were at this store headed down when like you even met Jaya. So it kind of works out perfectly.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you are beginning to kind of walk a little bit of ways and probably maybe for now, just up until the next like square or gathering area and like looking down different offshoots and things like that. So I would love you all to, the two of you, to make me perception checks.
I'm not good at these. Nat 20, 27.
I'm not good at these.
I'm not good at these. Nat 20.
Look, it's a plus 7 when a lot of my things are plus 13s, but
yeah,
a nat 20 is a nat 20.
So I've utilized one of my hero points for this. I got a 25.
Okay. So you're having this kind of conversation as you begin to head downwards. And I'm trying to remember who this was initially.
Jaya.
No, when you all were first meandering through town to get to the trading bazaar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who were the two folk, I think it was two, unless it was all of you, that met Dio and the
that
Sound
was
of Delight?
The other two.
Yeah, that was Arafe.
That was Ark and Arafe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ark and Arafe, okay.
Yep.
So
yep.
Ark, with your natural 20, you spot Dio. Near that same kind of town, not that I say town square, but like I'm imagining it, but like one of those open areas. With your nat 20, however, because you, I believe, fixed their instrument.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
You see them there with a bandaged arm, kind of in a sling. No instrument that you can see of. Little stubble on his cheek, like he's like not doing that great. And just kind of sitting there. And one of his bandmates is kind of standing there with his instrument, trying to be like, come on, like you can see him clearly like trying to like cheer him up. And it strikes you as odd. And Hideaki, you do not recognize these people.
Yeah. Certainly.
But you see that there's like something going on over there.
Yeah.
I don't see Jaya.
Yeah, not so far. Looks like somebody's arm is in a sling.
Oh, yes, that's Dio.
Oh, you know them?
I fixed their instrument, which I don't see.
Oh. Well, that might be a great icebreaker for us to start a conversation. And he hinders over there, unless Ark 2 stops him.
Ark starts, dude. He's like he gets to like, do you, and he was going to say like, do you think this will help us find Jaya? But he doesn't, he doesn't get it out.
Oh man, sorry. Reacting to gifts. Anyways. You head on over. Go ahead, like, do you just kind of like...
100% announce my presence. Hello there. Sorry to be a bother. was just curious. First of all, are you okay?
Yeah, fine.
They're not, their arm is bandaged.
Yeah.
I agree.
It is, sucks.
Where's your instrument that fixed for you?
Yep.
Stolen?
Oh no.
Kinda looking at the ground.
You didn't stop it from being stolen.
I believe there was an attempt.
With his one good arm.
Yeah.
He points. Not like you fancy students. The magic. I have one thing. My love of music. Makes me solid money. Don't have that anymore.
Well, these fancy students like to help people. So, who did the thing?
Kind of like looks up at you for the first time, and one of his like bandmates is just like, there you go. Maybe they could help. And he kind of shoots him a look like, maybe. I don't know. They like to come from like alleyways and dark areas. We don't really get. No one I've talked to has seen their face.
You were ambushed.
I'm not the only one. It's been happening to buskers all around.
Oh, ho, 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 ho. Sorry. I recognize that sounds really weird to be excited about that. Here's the thing. To be perfectly honest with you, I'm not just a good Samaritan. I'm actually my compatriot Arctu and I, who you've apparently met, and he helped fix that instrument that you're now missing. We're actually looking to find a mutual acquaintance. An acquaintance of mine that you may or may not know by the name of Jaya. Any idea who that might be?
Kind of looks over at his friend.
Nah. Yeah. All right, fair enough. But we're also kind of looking into some sort of what we believe to be some sort of crime syndicate. So I wonder if maybe is this like a new thing? Like, is this always been a problem in Natambu? Or is this like a...
No. I mean, maybe on the occasion, but this is ridiculous. Sure, this is like...
Sure.
I mean, let's see. And he starts like counting on one hand. I mean, there was like Dennis last week. There was, I mean, literally the other 2 days ago happened to.
Really?
Yeah, like, and he's just kind of mumbling to himself and like the names being less important because I don't want to think of a bunch of names. and is like kind of listening. And it's like, no, it's been happening more than it should. I don't know what's going on, but we tried to talk to the chime ringers and it's typical politics. But you know, if you're looking for more info, maybe I'm sure they have some reports that could shed some light, because I know I'm not the only one, but they haven't really been doing anything.
Do you know if it's like in a particular area? Like this street's always the worst.
Would they do it here in front of a bunch of people in a square, or is it always when you're walking down roads and alleys?
As you begin to kind of question in more detail, I would like some checks here, and that could be diplomacy, yeah. I think.
No.
I'm gonna go ahead and burn another hero point.
I'll burn a hero point too, because I have two, why not?
Sure.
Seven.
The one that seven. I earned. Fortunately, dirt is 30, baby!
Amazing. Okay, so kind of Arc 2's like pressing of these things that were like, you know, do they happen in broad daylight or whatever? And he's like, no, I told you, it's like, it's always at the end. I'm like, and then kind of Hideaki coming in with like assuaging the questioning and helping out.
Arc 2's like, is it your fault for not staying around people all the time?
Yes.
Not his fault. He is a victim.
You have to do the work to like help this out. Yeah, you are absolutely putting it in.
Yeah.
Yes. You're basically like, with that, he's like, no, you find out that basically like they usually kind of just wait in. They do only like the end of the day, when we have the most money on us, from a successful day. I mean, but still not that much. But like, and then one other piece of information is additionally that he saw four people, specifically, when they got him, and he swear he saw a tail. So, on one of them. So he's not exactly sure.
What kind of tail?
A tail like an anthropomorphic tail, or a tail like somebody was following them?
Great follow-up.
No, anthropomorphic tail. Basically trying to say that, like, he definitely thinks that, like two, I mean, they looked like humanoid or human or you know, elephant, like something humanoid, two of them, but one of them definitely wasn't. He saw, like, a more reptilian tail.
And like he was about to like show like use one of his tails as like a like, was it furry or not?
And then
you were like, okay, fair enough. Okay, well, this was really helpful. We are going to look into this for you.
Can you play an instrument, Hideaki?
No.
Can you pretend to play an instrument, Hideaki?
I abso-fucking-lutely can.
Could I have your instrument for 2 gold? It is worthless.
To the other one?
Yeah, to the other person.
And he's like, looks incredibly offended, and I'm going to carry over your 7 diplomacy. No.
3 gold.
It is not for sale. Thank you. And then he kind of like takes the elbow of Dio. Let's go.
I'll give it back.
You. Hold on. Hold on, just before you go, I think I'm picking up with my what my compatriot is putting down, because we, you know, us fancy-looking students, can become really good decoys with really fascinating instruments.
Look, this is my livelihood. I
would like to be attacked.
I would also like to be attacked. But perhaps we just, you know, pretend to have a lot of gold. You know, do a little clinkety-clink really loudly.
Do you have a loner instrument? Like something that you don't play backup? Anymore? Yeah, a backup.
Kind of like they're looking at each other.
4 gold. Anytime the prices increase, people usually say yes.
He's right.
I'm also playing off my 7 diplomas.
All right. Yeah, I could. Any instrument, right?
Sure. Not for 4 gold. That one for 4. I'll pay 2 for any other.
You'll give it back?
If I do, do I get my money back?
No.
Half of it.
Like, Hideaki is impressed with like R2's like up down negotiation. Like, he's just letting it fly now at this point.
I get
point.
1 gold back if I give the instrument back unbroken.
Okay. None if it's broken.
No, you can have it if it's broken. It'll probably be broken. I likely will hit someone with it.
I'm sure we can work out a way to get it mended. Okay. I'm sure we've got ways, and you know, these fancy magical students after all. So, thank you for this information. We will bid you farewell, because me and my compatriot are about to go get ambushed. So hopefully we'll see you soon.
And with that, we'll go to break.
I was hoping to have the mic drop line.
Yeah. I have the best plan.